Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Dr. Mary Colo is a presentation sister who's recently retired as Professor of New Testament at Yarra Theological Union, a college within the University of Divinity, Melbourne. She'll continue to research and write on the Gospel of John. In 2022, Mary's two-volume commentary on John in the Wisdom Commentary Series was published. And this year, she'll be the key presenter at the American Catholic Biblical Association Conference.
The Gospel this coming Sunday is from John chapter 4, the story of Jesus meeting a Samaritan woman at a well. Frequently, the homily focuses on the woman's morality or lack of. Her coming in the middle of the day instead of in the morning seems suspicious. That she has had five husbands. Such interpretations are nonsense. They miss the point of what John is revealing in this scene. First, the scene is in chapter 4, and to understand it, you need to know important information from earlier chapters, particularly chapter 2. In chapter 2, Jesus is at a wedding in Cana, and as you know, he provides abundant, top-quality wine. But have you noticed that the steward in charge of the wedding, who doesn't know about Jesus, goes to the bridegroom to congratulate him for saving the best wine till last? This tells us that it was the responsibility of the bridegroom to provide the wine. The whole point of this scene is to reveal that the bridegroom is really Jesus. In the Old Testament, the bridegroom is an image for God, and a wedding symbolizes God's committed, loving relationship to Israel. In John, Jesus will be the revealer of God and God's desire to be in relationship with all of us. After Cana, the next story in chapter 2 is Jesus in the temple, driving out the animals and then saying to those who challenge him, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The author then adds that Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. Jesus is now a living temple of God's presence. These two important clues are needed to understand what happens between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Another piece of important information is the religious and ethnic difference between Jesus, who's a Judean, and the woman, a Samaritan. At one point in Israel's history, the nation was united under King David and his son, King Solomon. But with Solomon's death, the tribes in the northern region did not want to have a hereditary monarchy. They wanted to choose their own king. So there was a split. The northern group established their capital in Samaria, while the smaller southern group remained with Jerusalem. Then, when a more powerful nation, Assyria, attacked, the northern group was vanquished and thousands exiled from their land. In their place, the Assyrians brought in groups from foreign nations. The mingling of Israelites and foreigners created people called the Samaritans, and they were despised by the southern nation of Judea as having impure or mixed blood. With this background, which John's audience would know, let's look at John 4. Notice how often Jacob's name is mentioned. It's Jacob's well, and it's near land that Jacob owned. This is a clue. Also, the meeting takes place at a well, and it's the middle of the day. Now, John's original audience would understand these clues because they knew the story of Jacob. We read in Genesis chapter 29 how Jacob travels to relatives in order to find a wife. He comes to a well and finds shepherds there. And Jacob is puzzled because they gather at the well in the middle of the day. Then another shepherd, Rachel, arrives. Jacob lifts the stone covering the well so the sheep can be watered. Later, Jacob meets Rachel's father and eventually marries her. So, there is a meeting between a man and a woman at a well that leads to marriage. Now, this in fact is a pattern in the Old Testament. Boy meets girl at the local well. So when Jesus meets a woman at a well, the audience could expect talk about marriage. So back to John. Jesus asks for water, and the woman replies abruptly, "You, a Judean, ask a drink of me, a Samaritan?" Centuries of division hardens her heart. And this leads into Jesus' claim that he can provide living water. Naturally, the woman is skeptical. How can he do this? In those days, you took your own bucket and rope to the well in order to draw water. As the woman notes, "Sir, you have no bucket. Are you greater than our father Jacob?" Yet another mention of Jacob. Remember his meeting with Rachel at a well? Now, some more important background information. The original Jacob story in the book of Genesis was written in Hebrew. Over time, the language changed, so that by the time of Jesus, he was speaking Aramaic, and so was the woman. Think of it like in Italy today. They don't speak Latin anymore. They speak Italian, where Latin was once the original language. With the change, the original Hebrew texts were translated into Aramaic for the people of this land. So Jesus and the woman have been hearing Jacob's story in Aramaic. Other places beyond Israel had the Hebrew translated into Greek, which was the common language of that time. Now, the translation into Aramaic is not a literal word-for-word exact translation. And the translation adds two miracles. This is what the translation said. This is what Jesus and the woman would have heard. "When our father Jacob raised the stone from above the mouth of the well overflowed and came up to its mouth and was overflowing for 20 years, all the days that he dwelt in Haran." So Jacob did not need a bucket. The water gushed up to him. And this water kept flowing for 20 years. This is why the woman asks, "Are you greater than our father Jacob? Can you provide water without needing a bucket?" And Jesus' reply is, "Yes, much greater. The water I can provide is for eternity life, not just 20 years, where eternity life is the life of God, participating in God's own life." At this point, the woman surrenders and her hostility is gone. As she asks, "Sir, give me this water." At this point, the dialogue changes to speak about husbands. no surprise. It is a meeting at a well between a man and a woman. And don't forget, in John 2, Jesus has already been revealed as the bridegroom. Then we hear that the woman has had five and now has another, making a total of six. Now, once again, don't hear this literally. In the Bible, some numbers have symbolic value. Seven expresses completion, totality, fullness. It's the number of days God needed for creation. Since seven conveys fullness and completion, six expresses almost, but not quite. Six points ahead to something more, to a seventh husband. And Jesus, the bridegroom, is the seventh. The woman then expresses great insight, recognizing that Jesus is a man of God, a prophet. And so she asks about worship. Where can I encounter God? My people worship God here on this mountain, in that temple. But your people insist that Jerusalem is where you worship. Jesus shifts the discussion from temple buildings to the inner spirit. Worship means more than sacrificing animals and elaborate rituals. Worship demands truth, I'd say integrity of spirit. And now this woman recognizes Jesus as the one the whole of Israel has been waiting for, the Messiah. And in response to her question, Jesus reveals himself using the holy name of God that was first revealed to Moses, I am. Wow. This is the first time in the gospel that Jesus has revealed his deepest self, his union with God, that he is the God of Israel, the I am. And it happens here, at a well and in a rich theological dialogue with a woman. Following this, the woman then acts like an apostle. She goes to her village to announce what has happened and who she has found. And the village goes to Jesus and invites him to dwell with them. For John's audience, this episode enacts the union of Judeans and Samaritans with God dwelling in their midst, as the prophet Ezekiel promised in Ezekiel 37. Thus says the Lord, I will take the people of Israel, the Samaritans, from the nations among which they have gone. I will gather them from every quarter and bring them to their own land. I will make them one nation on the mountains of Israel. Never again shall they be two nations. Never again shall they be divided into two kingdoms. Then they shall be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David shall be king over them, and they shall all have one shepherd. I'll make a covenant of peace with them, an everlasting covenant. I will bless them, multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary among them forevermore. My dwelling place. Remember, Jesus is the dwelling place of God, the living temple. My dwelling place shall be with them. I will be their God. They shall be my people. In John's community, this promise is realized as both Judeans, Jews, Samaritans, and Gentiles are welcomed into the community of believers. So, after this long background, where am I and where are you in this story? The woman moves from open hostility to wonder, cynicism, doubt. to faith in her own experience that transcends culture and even reasonableness. I know these experiences. I think Catholic women know these experiences. Know anger, doubt, delusion, disappointment, and cynicism. Are we able to listen to Jesus tell us that faith is more than buildings, more than rituals? That faith calls for deep spiritual integrity and truth. Can we let Jesus into all our emotional upheavals in being Catholic women of faith? Can we travel the journey of this Samaritan woman?
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and the Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and the Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.